Welcome to the Ambitious Tribe podcast with your chief encourager, Cassie Pajarillo. It's time to drive ambition and build a better business with a plan that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Now for your host, Cassie Pajarillo.
Hey, another day, another Ambitious Tribe podcast, and I'm excited to have you all in here. The person we'll be having on today's episode is a holistic therapist with over 3,000 hours of training from diverse transformational schools of methodologies and have combined all these teachings into a holistic healing practice according to a person's needs. She is currently running her own holistic breathwork school, guiding her clients through deep transformational path that helps them overcome personal limitations while achieving a new sense of wholeness, self-love, and joy. There's a Sanskrit proverb that says, for breath is life and you have to breathe well in order for you to love and in this world, and something like that. That breathing is an essential part of our lives and it's something we've been taking for granted. And this is why I'm so excited to have this lovely, lovely person here with us. We aim to discuss and for you to discover techniques that can radically shift you into everyday bliss, accessing your unshakable confidence and step into your full self through and with breathwork. And this guest, she holds a special place in my heart. She's also one of those women who has witnessed my journey during our Mind Valley retreat in Indonesia and has brought me back in the practice of meditation and was able to release myself from all this unwanted space towards forgiveness. She's also one of my best kept secret, so she's not a secret anymore, that I need to share, especially in these pressing times when everything else seems overwhelming and challenging. Let us welcome Alsu Kashapova in today's Ambitious Tribe podcast. Hey, Alsu, you're here. How are you? Hi. Where in the world are you right now again?
I'm in Italy currently. Oh, yeah.
All right. So you're no longer in Malaysia. And how is this new normal affecting you and your practice?
Well, I had to move everything online. That was quite a change. Even when I was in Malaysia, I think it started. But then experiencing lockdown in multiple countries this year. Before we were talking, which countries did you visit this year? It's like, where did you lockdown yourself?
Right? I mean, every time that I speak with you or Alessio, it's like, what? Where are you guys? Where? Oh, okay. So it's just like, oh yeah, just we're shifting. We're just transferring the paperwork and stuff. Oh goodness, you guys are so brave. Okay, so let me just go and dive into today's episode, but I'm so happy that you're safe over there. And so why did you choose this practice? What is your story? Okay, let me take a step back. Who is Alsu again? What is your story? And how did it get you from there to here?
Okay, so my story actually goes back when I was a teenager, and I already that time was part of this organization, and we were organizing leadership seminars for children and teenagers, and it was done by us. So there were few adults, and the rest of the, let's say, the entire festival would be designed by teenagers. So it was quite empowering, and I think I've been pretty lucky of having certain people that came into my life appeared as coaches. So that was the first part. And then when I was in university, I was part of a leadership organization, ISEC, which was also a huge shift for me. And so, but then, although having all of these brilliant experiences, I still felt that, okay, now I finished uni, I need to start my serious job, serious career. And then I started corporate job in L'Oreal in Moscow. So working there, I realized that if I was betrayed, if I was lied, because I did everything that I had to, like having corporate career, having success there. But then I didn't feel that it's real. Didn't feel that it's me. I felt completely lost and disoriented in a way, because I achieved all the stuff that society tells you to do, and you go through that ladder. But then when I quit, I decided, okay, now it's time for me to rediscover myself, what I really want. And it took a journey. So that's when I went back. Yeah. So that's when I went back to meditation and yoga and certain practices that I already knew. And I discovered Mind Valley, which was in Malaysia. And I thought that, okay, actually I have a technology background. So let me go and help that company. And it's in personal growth, which is really excites me. And I want it for myself as well. So then I moved to Malaysia and I just started experiencing, practicing different things, created my morning routine. And from then I understood that it's the most important for me to actually uncover all the layers to understand myself better and heal all the whatever childhood trauma and become more like whole self. And this journey eventually led me that I really wanted to share it with others as well, because I thought that it's the most important. And then slowly I started sharing with others, building practice, gaining certifications in different modalities. And yeah, right now I use different ways how we experience the world. So working with conscious, subconscious level to shift beliefs and to shift stories that we tell ourselves, and also using energy practices like breath work and Reiki and sound healing to shift whatever body is keeping, because body keeps all the memories and the score, as Bessel van der Kolk says, and also having awareness as a daily practice. So integrating all of these approaches, I think it's that's something that where I am right now. And yeah, I just want more people to feel fully themselves, to feel this inner peace and be able to do it on their own, you know?
Yes. Also, you were exposed or experienced meditation at such a young age. Who was the influence? I mean, who drove you to meditation? How did you even discover it? I mean, right now it's becoming a buzzword, thank God. I mean, I'm like, maybe if there is a trend that I'm really grateful for, it's knowing that everybody now is talking about self-awareness, meditation, breath work, and it's just so amazing. It's not a woo-woo anymore. But with you, you started really early. So who influenced you? How did you get there?
Well, I'm asking myself this question sometimes, but
yeah.
I think the leader of the organization that we were part of, she was not just a manager or leader, let's say, she was also like a coach for us. And it was not exactly that we knew how these practices were called. It was more like understanding the power of your mind, because she would tell us, representing the universe, sort of, okay, what you say as you wish it will be. So sometimes if you come and her and say, I cannot do this project, it's so hard, and then she would say, okay, as you wish, my darling. And then you're like,
I like that. Okay, yeah, as you wish.
Exactly. Yeah. Or like, yeah. Very normal. And then sometimes you say, it's like, yeah, it's really amazing, I feel great. And she would say, yeah, as you wish, darling. And then you're like, oh, what?
And okay. Yeah,
training, like understanding that there is more to this life, and actually you can design it and become the version that you want to be, and there is some certain connection with the universal laws. This was, I think, that quite the shift for me, and since that time, this was my type of mindset. And later on, I discovered, of course, other practices and things as well.
So yes, my darling. Okay. Wow. So, but it sounded so woo-woo back then. I'm sure a part of you is like, yeah, I believe it. But really, I mean, of course, right? Like, we're all human beings, and you know, what you believe to be true is true. But sometimes, even if it's something that other people believe in, it will be a little bit tougher to believe in also yourself, not until you actually experience the magic of what she said about, yes, my darling, right? But what was the very, if you still remember though, if you still remember, what was the very first yes, my darling moment that made you say, holy guacamole, it's real? Yeah.
There might be few instances, because then we became, let's say, group of friends. And let's say that I never felt normal. I didn't feel that I fit into my, let's say, group of with classmates. Or I think that they're all lovely people. But at the same time, I just didn't feel that the same level of connection. So when I felt people who also want something bigger, something good for the world, I felt like, wow, I'm not just the one. And so I kind of like found my tribe, I think. And that was also really helpful to feel normal in your, in not being normal. So that's why for me, it wasn't like a thing that was so new. It was more like, okay, I found something that actually I believe that is more true. Rather than everything else.
Okay. So, wow, right? It's just amazing on how you were able to develop and were able to respond to that. But when you chose this practice, what is, you know, what made you say, okay, I think this is the one that I'm going to do. I'm going to be a holistic therapist. And this is something that I'm going to hone and sharpen. I mean, in the world where, well, a couple of years ago, it's still pretty much, you know, like a woo-woo to everybody, right? And I'm sure it would have been tough. I mean, I think I'm just going to go ahead and say, like, if it wasn't because of Mind Valley, perhaps people would still know what is a subconscious mind. Silva Method was still a woo-woo. I remember it's getting sued for a lot of things back in the day. So, but with what is Alsu's story, your story, what was that point that you said, you know what, this is it. I'm going to do this. This is it.
Actually, it's like I'm it wasn't that easy. I never said that I'm going to be that. I actually, it was the opposite. I tried.
Wow, Alsu, go ahead. Yeah.
Because still, even though I was exposed to this, that let's say new reality, old beliefs was still so ingrained in me that I thought that it was fun and it was nice, but then I need to do serious stuff. And that's why I chosen professions that is like production of goods, like a factory, then technology, something that is so tangible, seriousness of it, like and then even in Mind Valley I was leading technology, so working with people and knowing that I'm impacting millions of users, sort of like a big scale of it, and a certain solving real problems. That was my mindset. And then that's why I actually, even before that, I did so many things. Like I worked in marketing, in HR, in events. So basically I just would try something, but then I feel it's not what I want next. Because it was really hard for me to accept that I actually want to work directly with people. And that's the way I want to express myself and contribute to the world. Because I was always having a question, who am I to do this? Who am I to be able to help others? So that's why it was probably what I did. I did MVPs. So let's say that I thought that, okay, it seems that it's so irresistible that I cannot stand it anymore. This, let's say, internal itching feeling that I need to share.
The desire is there. Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So you probably went through something similar.
We all do, right? I think entrepreneurship is a calling. And I think, you know, I mean, having to know you too, I think you're really more at ease with it. Like it's your element, that it's something that you can't sleep and you just want to do it. And whenever that you are in that position, I mean, I've seen you do things. I mean, in the short time that we were together, when you are in your element, it was just radiant. I mean, I know that, okay, this is Alsu's thing. It's not something that she's still discovering, but rather it's really what is it in you. Now, I remember when you did say, I really, really didn't remember this, when you said that emotions and breathing are tightly linked. And you were saying this over and over and over again when we were together. And I truly believe in everything that you said, not because I'm into it at that time. Well, I was, but not really. I mean, I'm not as in depth as you. But now that I've been practicing it myself, And since the world is all in this space of healing, thank God that now it's not just a buzzword. I mean, it's not just a trend, but it's something that people really are into and ingrained. Can you help us understand more about, you know, especially those who don't understand this, right? Like understand more about emotions, breathing, and how can we become more aware of what is happening internally and externally? Yeah, can you walk us through
that? Yes, thank you for asking that. I think it's so important because nowadays there is such a mass suppress of emotions.
Yes.
It's always that you need to show up feeling good, feeling well, and then there is so many stereotypes that what we female should be, what male should be, and how we should behave in the world. That's why I see that with every client that I work, it's always the journey of discovering how to work with your emotions, not suppressing them, and at the same time not expressing that it would hurt others. So where this middle ground, and that was the same for me because I experienced some sense of anxiety, and it was either I would cry a lot or like feeling some physical disease like stomach pain or something, or I would be just like a soldier suppressing it. So that's why it was important for me to discover this way, how else we could do that. And I think that the first step is always acknowledgement.
Okay.
It's always awareness. Just being aware that you are experiencing something uncomfortable, that you are in a moment that you are angry, you are, let's say, feeling stressed or feeling sad, and not denying or suppressing it, but instead staying with it. Just and breathing can help here because it's also linked with our reptilian brain and our emotions as well. It's the first response. It's like information is fast. It's connected to the part of the nervous system that tells you exactly how to respond to certain danger, let's say. And that's why we have certain emotions that will help us navigate through the world, right? And it's since the very beginning, even before humans were able to talk, to describe what they feel, they would already have certain automated responses. For example, when you're in the forest, you might feel scared. When you are having, you have to attack, like freeze, flight, flee responses were there all the time. Mm-hmm. So right now they are still in us, but in a current modern world, we didn't adapt that. We try to package ourselves into something, some format.
Yeah, people are just saying that everybody is just strong, but in truth, you got a process thing. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so we all experiencing that. And I think that first step is always becoming an observer, being aware of what's happening. Because what actually happens that you react. So what is reaction? Is reaction. So certain action, you learn how to deal with certain situations. And most likely it was when you were a child, starting from when you were in the womb until age of 7. That's when most of the responses, reactions of child being created, being developed. So let's say if you observe that your mom is, let's say, holding herself, not speaking out, or let's say if your dad is expressing themselves angrily with, let's say, anger and rage, then that's how you would learn also to deal with certain situations. Mm-hmm. Or if it's too dangerous for a child and they just need to protect themselves, they might freeze. Because they don't have choice yet, so they can't really affect the situation at home, so they might need to protect themselves. So, which is okay maybe for a certain time, but then when you are becoming an adult, all of these reactions are practiced and they are being stored as a memory, as a automated reaction. So let's say then as an adult, when you are in another situation, you are just dealing with a boss, let's say, and maybe they ask you to send a report. It's like, oh, hey, can you send me a report? And then suddenly you feel all this fear or maybe anger. And the person maybe didn't even intend to hurt you, but because you have certain emotionally charged memory, maybe your mom or dad were controlling type and they were asking you this way, like, and you heard it as like, where is my report? And it's the interpretation of the reality is always fueled by these emotionally charged memories. And we are reacting. So we are just replaying the same scenario. So in order to stop it, first you actually need to recognize these triggers, these reactions, and understand that, okay, I'm actually right now reacting, and just stay with it and observing what's happening for you, what actually bothers you here, and being more compassionate towards yourself as well. That is the key here. Because if someone didn't hold space for you when you were a child, this part of you, this child, is still sitting there inside you, still needing this space, needing this attention from you to hold space for their tears, for their anger, or whatever they are going through. So instead of punishing yourself or acting out, hurting others, it's important to imagine that how you would deal with a child. Let's say that you most likely you would just need to sit with them and let them talk, let them process, be kind and compassionate, and then they will go into the peace, and then you will understand, okay, what was happening here. And where breathing comes. So breathing is connected directly to your nervous system. So inhale is connected to sympathetic part and exhale is to parasympathetic. So it's easier for you to go into your presence and calm down, and let's say go into more parasympathetic state in a moment when you go into your breath.
Yeah.
Even right now, let's just, whoever is listening and with you, just start noticing your breath. Notice the pattern. And every emotion actually has certain pattern of breathing. Let's say usually when you are in fear, you have like this freeze response, and or maybe you feel some tension. So just notice this. How is it in your body? How is it in your breath? And by just realizing that, wow, actually my shoulders are tensed, my face is also like has so much heaviness, and just taking a breath gives you ability to create this space. And one single breath in that moment can be enough, because before you didn't even have that. So just when you don't know what's happening, when you don't know what to do, but you know that you feel something uncomfortable, you don't know how to deal with it, just take one breath, full breath from your belly. And on exhale, just let go.
Totally.
And then just start observing, start noticing, okay, what's happening for me? What are these sensations in my body? Where do I feel this feeling? Maybe sometimes, even if you are not able to recognize feelings, because I think that's also a learning process to understand emotional language and what is happening with me, but your body will tell you the truth. You have already inner wisdom. So the moment that you can just feel, oh, my belly is feeling a little bit of pain, my legs are tightening or something, like, so you can definitely describe sensations. That's is more familiar language for most of the people. So what happens then when you are separating yourself from this reaction, now you're gaining a little bit of freedom, because now you have the choice. You have the choice to respond, take responsibility, and then you can decide what to do, or you can even say, I need a break right now. It's also a learning process.
You know, that is really, really powerful. I felt like, I hope those who are listening were really, really paying attention and was doing that inhale and exhale exercise that also just, you know, made us do inadvertently. But that is just so, so true. You know, when you know, whenever I think about breath work, I think about empowered decisions. And with all these episodes that we have been doing, I have been doing here on this podcast, I'm really a firm believer on empowering yourselves in terms of what is it that you're going to do next or what is it you're doing now. And it's too easy for everybody to feel overwhelmed. It's too easy for people to feel like as if the world is crumbling and stuff. But in truth, what we really need to do is just to take a step back. Okay, maybe 5 seconds, like, okay, holy crapola, guacamole, whatever it is, what is happening in here? Okay, let me take a step back. And, you know, the past few days I have been, you know, I've been sharing my story as well, and people were like resonating. And I just want to share this with you also. Like, but a lot of people have been coming to me and saying, hey, Cassie, I resonate with what you're saying. And this is why I work so hard. And this is where I'm like, oh my gosh, this is wrong. I should have not said work hard, but rather wait, take a step back and work only on things that is right for you and does not necessarily mean chase all the money right away. But just to feel also what is energetically inside. Because here's the thing, also, I also learned along the way too that of course, as much as the school has been telling us that there are different types of stressors, I thought I wasn't stressed anymore, right? But there are different types of stresses that even the textbooks won't even, you know, won't be able to discuss. And this is where breath work comes in. And I know that there are a lot of benefits in terms of the regular practice and all, but let me take a step back here again. Like, how could breathing actually help heal unresolved wounds? I mean, there are a lot of people who would say, okay, maybe it's my hormones. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's the experiences when I was 1, 2, 3, 7 years old. But now that you're saying what you were saying about, okay, Cassie, it can actually heal wounds. Like, how did that even happen? Like, what is the science to, or what is the logic to that?
So there are, let's say that certain memories, they yep. might be stored in your body. So you can even see that some people develop certain posture or over the time because they were constantly experiencing certain reaction. And it's not only happening on the mind level. So it's important to combine mind work with your embodiment and energy modalities, because it's also some energy that is... emotion is like energy in motion, so it's still there, still probably somewhere, and it needs to be released.
Yeah.
So let's say that instead of suppressing it later on, if you don't do that, already a lot of studies show how it impacts physical health and how then people get certain physical disease, and it's already become harder to deal with for many. So right now, if you have an opportunity to actually do this work, it's better to do it now before you got into a crisis situation. And going into how and how breathing, for example, helps, it creates this energy flow that allows to move, to create this movement and this suppressed energy that was there, feeling like it's being stuck. It has an opportunity to be released, to be resolved. And that's how it works.
Yeah. And I remember you when you said also during the breathwork practices, right, that when you are hurt or when there are baggages that can't seem to be, you know, released through words, it pays really great attention that the breathing is the one that actually, like, I don't know, there's some sort of detoxifying that happens. Like, you don't see it, but it's there, right? And I truly believe too, when they say that if you look haggard, if you look, you know, very sickly and stuff, it's because maybe there are secrets that you're hiding, that, or there are pain that internally or in your mind or in your past that you seem never have been able to forgive. And I don't know, there is some sort of, I don't know how to explain it, which I think you can explain it furthermore in terms of forgiveness. Now with your holistic therapy, right, with your practice in holistic therapy and also with breathwork, can you describe to us or maybe explain to us more, like, what is the difference between what you do and psychologist or psychiatrist, like, what's the difference?
This is something that I'm still trying to explain as well.
But I guess the Aosu way.
Including to myself. Working on like a branding and everything.
Yeah, but this is good. Yeah. I love it. I'm challenging you guys with all these questions. Yeah.
The difference is that I think that integration, so what's important for me, it's integrating different aspects. Let's say, first of all, only 5% of our brain works on conscious level. So that's why, for example, I integrated the hypnotherapy and using subconscious level where we can go directly understanding root cause and shift a certain beliefs, install new beliefs. And then at the same time, there is this energy aspect of that, because as I explained just earlier, that the body keeps the score. So that's why we want also to create this energy flow to release whatever was stuck. And sometimes in this sense, we don't need to be aware of what exactly happened. We just allow the process, the inner wisdom to take in, to create this self healing mechanisms. And I believe that when you do breath work, it all works on all levels, like physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual as well. So there is a sense of connecting to something bigger and having a certain, like this inner intuition, inner wisdom, inner healing power, it just becoming more awakened. So it's actually right now more and more studies proving it on a physical level, but also you can just feel it natural, like physically, how the energies go through you, and like you feel these vibrations and sensations and release. And then, but also even, let's say, a lot of work done on subconscious level, consciousness is also very important. So that's why daily practice, awareness, observing your emotions, observing your triggers, observing your thoughts, and just creating more space to process it. That's very important, because it's kind of like integrating it.
Yeah.
So going back into your question, let's say for me, what's important, it's find methods that work, that are quite directly helping to move through certain where the person is stuck. That's why I'm putting together, let's say, whatever tools, whatever is needed, we're working together to go through it for the new level.
Yeah. And from what I'm picking up from you is that your holistic therapy approach is really more on not just your subconscious mind. It's not just what is happening presently, but also having to integrate your entire full body experience to release the tension or whatever issues that's happening. And then with, of course, the other types of therapy, it's just really more of like just asking question and processing without even, you know, going real deeply into the inside internal. And that's at least what I understand from what you just said. But also, go ahead.
Let me just add on. To me, all forms of therapies are good. As long as you are doing something, I really respect all the practices. And I also believe that for some person, one modality will work better. It's important for everyone to resonate with their practitioner as well. With the practice. So I believe that it's important just to put the intention to start the work, and then
discover
you will be able
way.
To find
which one works for you. And it's true, not all modalities might be right or might not be the perfect match right away. But what's important is, again, what you said, awareness, having to know that you need help, you need to do something, and what are the next steps, right? Hey, Driven and Ambitious, do you dig today's topic? Well, I'm interrupting my own episode to invite you to apply for the free private training through www.cassiepajarillo.com, where you get to learn how to have a powerful profile online as you turn your network into paid high-ticket clients with a plan. If you're still scratching your head on how to make LinkedIn and social media work for you, this training has helped coaches, consultants, private practitioners, and content creators adopt digital transformation, have systems, processes, and structures in their practice, and be amazing profitable CEOs online. By the end of the training, you'll walk away with a deeper understanding, implementable way forward, and a roadmap for your online coaching or consulting businesses that's clear, transformative, progressive, and profitable. Remember, there are no glass ceilings, and you can definitely prioritize work-life integration. Apply today at www.cassiepajarillo.com. Link is in the description box below. Can't wait to see you there. And now let's get back to today's episode. Okay, so also I remember too that with your regular practice, you had COVID, right? You and
Yes, we got it.
Crazy. And with the breath work that you did, I remember I was so worried because suddenly I wasn't seeing any posts from you, from, you know, Alessio, and then Italy was severely affected. And I was like, oh my God, where are my friends? What is happening? And then you posted, we got COVID. Like, holy shit, what is happening? But you said that this breath work practice that you did, I mean, okay, those are listening. I'm not saying that this is the only solution, but I would love to hear your story and maybe you can tell your story. How did breath work actually help you with that situation?
Okay.
That's interesting.
So it was interesting for me because when COVID came, I was like, okay, dude.
Oh, no.
I got like, hit. You're here. I got you. And, because it was so much of, let's say, conversations about it. That is like, and I usually do not recommend anything that I tested myself.
Yeah.
So in a way, I was like, all right, finally, I got to be my own laboratory. I could experience everything I want and practice it on myself so I will be able to better recommend others. So okay. What was my journey is that I...
What? I'm my own lab. I got COVID. Yeah. Okay. Right. Go ahead.
Well, in a way, yeah. And then I started practicing all I wanted to practice, basically. I just...
Really good. Okay, go ahead. Go. This is gonna be interesting.
I did different breathing techniques. I did Reiki. I did some sort of like cell command healing therapy, visualizing like all the energy in my cells, rejuvenation, and just kept practicing it. Actually, I had only like some symptoms probably for 1 or 2 days. Yeah. So it wasn't really like affecting me much. So I was like, okay. and then after a while, it was interesting. I went back to work and then I had some project going on and then I felt a little bit of self-doubt. So I felt a little bit, all of this self-doubt, not enoughness was coming up. And literally in one day, I felt how this affected my state. Like all these self-doubt things, like I'm not enough, I'm not strong enough, in completely other areas. But then I felt how energy is just dropping. I felt out of energy by afternoon.
How?
So then, yeah, it was quite vivid for me. It's like a Lord of the Ring movie when there is this eye is looking and taking it like your energy, then the person becomes weaker. The same I felt in me, like when this self-doubt belief came in and actually affected physical state. So then, but in this case, I knew what's the reason here. So I just worked with my belief and cleared a bit, stayed with myself. And then by the next day, I felt back to, let's say, a more normal physical state. So that was my journey with COVID. And then I actually have an Instagram video I did live on specifically for different states, depending on your age, depending on how severe are your symptoms. There are different techniques that you can apply because let's say if you are in a severe conditions, Everything should be very gentle and smooth, like just a small walking outside, maybe getting some fresh air, just breathing like a little bit slower and longer, like on the count of 3 to 3 or 5 to 5, depending on where you are. So you can start with very gentle stuff. And also if it's like a elder person also might be affecting. Then if, for example, if you are more in a less severe situation, then you can have a more active breathing techniques to clear your lungs, to expand the lungs capacity. Just simply like box breathing, for example, might help. And even breathing with movement to kind of like move and cleanse a little bit. And then let's say if you are more in a situation when you are recovering, that can be another story, then you can do already some practices that involve holding your breath after exhalation, for example, because it also creates this powerful healing state when your system has chance to recover. And a lot of studies been done lately there as well. So I can send a link to this Instagram live that I did for these different cases, specifically on breathing.
We'll have that on the show notes, everybody. Wow, Ermio, also that was insane. And when you shared about that, I was like, you know what? It makes sense too, right? That really breathing and is all that we have, and it's something that is constant and it's connected to our body. That it does make sense that, you know, when you control your breath, it controls your mind and it controls things, and maybe you can actually control as well how it affects your system. But of course there are all other factors, but thank you for sharing that.
I have just one thing to add. Breathing is the only function in our body that has two states. Mm-hmm. One is unconscious. Let's say that it works even when we don't think. So you don't need to think and put any effort. It's like effortless way, right? It just happens since you were born. And then you can also alterate your breathing consciously. And that's the power of it, that it already gives you life. It's the core function for your metabolism. It provides, creates adenosine triphosphate when you inhale, and provides food for your cells, fuel you with energy. But then at the same time, you can expand the power of it even more if you understand it as a tool. For example, when you're in different situations, you always can feel different breathing pattern that you have. When you are stressed, it's probably more like tensed. When you are more expanded, when you are in power, it would be more expanded breathing as well. So the reverse way works as well. You can change your breath and then you can change your state as well. So that's the power of it.
That makes sense, right? When people does the power pose and stuff, right? And then you inhale deeply and then stand tall. It just changes everything. And I mean, there are a few more questions that I wanted to ask, but I promise we're going to end in a bit. But I caught you with something that you said about feeling low and you had self-doubt. You know that it works, but you have those kind of emotions. And I think this is relatable too with a lot of people also who's like, okay, I'm achieving. I got into the top of the world. I'm in my Mount Everest. And then suddenly, boom, I'm down. I'm on a plateau. How did you pick yourself up? And what modality that brought you back up?
I think it's the topic that that I work and still working myself on constantly. And that's why I think that most of the time I help my clients with that as well. It's all related to this enoughness, right? So that's, I think that the first one is understanding that your sense of worth, your self-worth is not the same as confidence, for example.
Interesting. Yeah.
Let's say that you can be confident in a certain skill. Let's say you can become a driver and you learn it, right? Or you can be bad in presentations at first, but then you learn it and you become confident. So it's more like in a certain particular skill, you can gain confidence over time. But what happens a lot of times that people put dependency on what they do, what they achieve, and it directly linked to their self-worth. So like how valuable I am, my love, how much I love myself, it's all linked to if I've done enough. But the problem is with it, if you don't feel enough inside, it's never enough. There is no finish line there. So you always have to hustle, achieve more and more and more. And
yeah,
but because there is no internal feeling, internal sense of enoughness, it doesn't matter how much you fuel, it's not actually, it's not going to solve this core issue, let's say. So I think that just understanding that, just realizing that, am I feeling enough, or am I feeling enough only if, only if someone gave me a compliment, only if I got a raise or achieved a certain project. And actually, to me, self-love is not when you are feeling really great about yourself in that moment of high achievement state when you did it, right?
Yeah.
But when in all these situations when you did, you were not able to pass that exam or do that, how, like the ability to pick up yourself in this moment, that what matters. And it also requires practice. So again,
practice, yeah.
Let's say that the first one is becoming aware. I think, again, it always starts with an awareness.
Yeah.
Well, again, just sitting with yourself and as like, okay, like, where do I feel it? What's happening for me? And then just gently staying with yourself, maybe putting your hand on your heart, the way you feel it, and just feeling what part of me that needs my attention right now, turning your attention inwards.
Good question.
And sometimes people actually feel, you probably will have certain image of like younger self, like where did I, you can also ask yourself, is it a familiar feeling, how far it could go back? And then you can probably imagine a younger version of yourself that you can hug, pick up, tell them what you need to hear. And just stay with them with a nurturing, kind, loving compassion. But sometimes, let's say if you are not in a space to do that, you can also recall other part of you that is an adult, that is more like a higher self, that is, you just think of all the moments when you were able to help others, to your children or to your colleagues, friends. What would you do when they are in this situation? How would you treat them? So now bring that version of you, that part of you, that person, and apply all the stuff to yourself. Just imagining how this person will be taking care of you at this moment. Because most of the time it also comes with unintegrated emotionally charged memories that coming from some point when you decided and to acquire this belief, let's say, not consciously, of course. So then you heal not only the situation that is happening for you right now, not like an event itself, is just a reality that is created. But let's say letting go of the event and even the messenger, let's say if the person hurt you, you just see it as a trigger. But whatever comes up, it should be already inside in order to come up. So understanding that and staying with yourself and with compassion, loving kindness, forgiving yourself, that's all important. And like in that moment, it helps to say to yourself, also self-talk is really important. Saying all the words that you really want to hear from others, or just saying like, it's all right, I'm enough, I'm worthy, I love myself, I'm here with you. I'll be here with you no matter what. I will be always with you. I'll have time for you. I'll have time for myself. So all these supportive words, maybe touches, and just, let's say, staying with yourself. You can also do like a 15-minute connected breath to just work through it. And of course, if you need some help, you probably would work on this. If it happens regularly, I would recommend you to work with your therapist on that as well, because it's so important. And then, so that's another part. So, and the more you are able to pick up yourself in this moment, the more you practice it as well, the easier it becomes. So don't worry if suddenly you were not able to, let's say, shift everything immediately. You don't actually need to shift things. The most important is to process. The act of processing, the act of staying with yourself is what matters. And just one more point is important. The practicing is important to do before you go into the crisis state. No matter what practices, because it's the same, like we learn and then it's easier when you drive on the road and suddenly there is a huge turn. If you practice it before, right, if you are like driving for a long time, it will be like, okay, and you do it. If not, then you will be already like 10 kilometers out and you need to like figure out another way. So the same with any practice, whether it's breathing or self-awareness, self-talk. When you are in a normal state, let's say, not in a crisis state, that's the time for you to set up this routine, set up certain practices. When you wake up, tell a few good words to yourself in the mirror, observe your self-talk and replace all the harsh criticism with more kind words. Just hear yourself, what you tell to yourself every day on a daily basis, and think, is like, is it really how I would treat my best friend or my child? And just realizing that, or writing it even down, that helps to see, like, are you your own cheerleader or not? And then in the morning, I always say that it's better to practice for 1 minute, 5 minutes, rather than try to suddenly create a beautiful, perfect 1 hour routine. You just need to kick out yourself from the bed and do one thing at first. And the more you do that, any type of modalities that you feel right about, whether it's yoga, meditation, or breath work or something else, just do this one thing for 5 minutes, then 10 minutes. So then when you are in crisis situation, you already have something that where you can come back, where you know that works for you. You already experienced that. So kind of like you create new neuropathways, new reactions, like more healthy ones. And like generally you can respond better to the situation.
Yeah. And I do think too, that people are going to be kinder for, you know, kinder to everybody once that we are more aware. And self-awareness is a practice that needs to be constantly done. It takes, you know, consistency as well. Like self-awareness is not just about, oh yeah, I'm mad. No, it's not like that. I mean, you really have to know, okay, why am I mad? Where is this coming from? Why is this how I'm reacting? There's just so many annoying questions that you got to ask at first. But once that you get into that, you'll become a better partner, a better friend, a better human being. And, you know, sometimes I would always tell my husband, like, you're so lucky because I'm so mature now than I was, or else I'll be fighting you right now.
That's true. Actually, right? Like one thing, what you said, that sometimes people think that self-healing is this, there are these memes on internet, right?
Yeah.
Like what you think of self-healing, and then there is a person under the tree, sunshine, and like meditating. And then what the self-healing actually is, like with the angry tea, with tears, like annoyed.
It's all annoying.
I know that actually, like it is annoying. And it's not that, let's say that you think that you will do some work, let's say, okay, let's do like 2 months of work and then everything works back. It's continuous journey, right? It's constant work. Even like every day I'm noticing what's happening for me. Even let's say during our conversation, I'm observing what's happening right now. What are these, my body sensations? And, but the good part, not to scare everyone.
Go ahead.
As you said, Cassie, it gives us so much freedom and liberation.
Yes.
Because the more you do this work, the less you become imprisoned with your own mind, with your own, and let's say, unprocessed feelings. So then you can actually deal with what is in present moment. You can deal what's happening with you right now, not with your past. So I think that it's worth all the work, because there is also a new sense of wholeness, of self-love, and uncovering new layers of what you can experience of yourself being with others. You can deeper connect to others as well, because when you are with another person, you are no longer present with your issues. You are no longer you're no longer in pain and perceiving the other person through your pain, but you are just with them. You can focus your attention very fully present on them. Mm. Yeah. So I think that it's so different, so liberating to go through this journey and to live in a more peace.
It's so liberating. But again, it takes a lot of constant practice, and it takes a lot of, you know, again, the awareness buzzword is more than just knowing. It's also experiencing it. I have so many more questions, but I'm not going to ask them anymore because we've been pretty much discuss everything else that I would love to ask. But I just want to note here too, to those who are listening, I have a polycystic ovary syndrome, and I've been very open about it. And my doctor, I'm just going to share this to you also, because you played such a pivotal role into this too, right? So when I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, have you been having an increase in anxiety? Have you been having panic attacks again? Have you been having, I mean, crying moments and stuff like that, yada, yada, yada. And I was like, no, but I acknowledge I've been having anxiety, but I think I've been managing it really well. It's not like I'm going ballistic over it. And she was like, what? That's amazing. Because your hormones, when it says in the report though, that one of those things that's going to happen to me while I'm fixing my hormone therapy is that I'm going to go haywire with anxiety and panic attacks and all those terrible things and crying every day and stuff like that. And it's true. And then when I was saying, well, I guess mindset is strong. The body is not, you know, I get to control it. But here's something that I wanted to share here, and that I wanted to echo and say and share it to you while we're all in here, and our listeners are also in here and listening, right? That breath work is not just a woo-woo kind of thing. And also just really said that it's just there ingrained in us since the day that we were born. And with constant practice, because of that awareness, right? I still get anxiety, of course, but with that anxiety, I get to control it instead of it controlling me and then going haywire. And then I will be like arguing with my husband and be like, what is happening? But now it's really more of like, okay, what are you going through? And this is what I'm going through. Step back. I'm having issues right now. Go away. So he was like, yeah. So I just wanted to say thank you for that, because when we had our breath work also, it just released a lot of it. And I told you I had that out of body experience during the breath work that we had. And I saw myself, I saw you walk, I saw everything. But one more last question. What if it also happens to other people when they're doing their breath work, they got nausea, out of body experience, or these other things? I mean, what can they do? And is that even normal?
All right. So breath work overall, there are different type of practices.
Yep.
So there is, let's say, small and medium format, and then there is large format. So let's say a smaller practices that usually 1 minute or like just one breath, one conscious conscious breathing, observing your breath.
Yeah.
That's where it starts. Then there are certain breathing practices that help you balance yourself, energize yourself, get into relaxation or for sleep, that you can do every day for 5 or 10 minutes. And then there is a long format, which is like when you breathe for 1 hour, mostly in a connected way. So it's there is a huge difference between all of those practices. So when we say breath work, it's a whole range of things. Let's say it's always safe to breathe through your nose. It's always safe to breathe in a slower way. Let's say box breathing, alternate nostril breathing, or other, let's say, pranayamas, or coherent breathing when you breathe for the 5 count and for 5 count out. So let's say these are just examples. There are probably like 300 of these practices. Usually everything that is more, let's say, slower pace, that is more gentle and settled, that's, you can practice it anytime on your own. When it comes to more active breathing, especially when you breathe in a connected way without holding your breath after inhalation, exhalation, and That's when you create this energy flow. So that's it could also bring up the issues that you need to process, that charged energy that wasn't released, right? So in terms of breathing, actually, everything will be fine. Let's say that you can always stop the practice. You can always breathe slower. It's just our mind. Our mind job is to protect us from, let's say, danger. And anything new is danger. So let's say, especially if you are quite a controlling type of person, then let's say if you need to control everything, then of course it would be unfamiliar sensations that will be a signal to our brain that it might be dangerous. So then you create even more resistance and even more fear that this, let's say, then creates physical reaction as well. But having said that, there are certain conditions that, for example, you need to be really conscious about when you have, for example, high blood pressure or any heart disease, if you experience any mental issues, if you have a depression state, or if you have, if you are pregnant, for example, there are certain specifications on which practice you can use, which not. And that's why it's important to firstly to start probably more intense practices with a practitioner, with a qualified specialist who can actually observe you, who can correct if, for example, you probably it's better to breathe in a certain way, and just be there for you to hold space. So that's I would say that it's a general suggestion to everyone. And then secondly, you can always start on your own with smaller practices. And then you can increase, for example, something more intense, like, for example, Wim Hof is a middle ground, like from it's not too intense, but intense enough. So you can also try it and see how you feel. So, for example, if you're experiencing that it's for you bringing up certain, whether it's emotions or on a physical level, uncomfortable state, then you can consult with us, with some professional. You can also just take one portion of the practice. Let's say do it one minute first, and then you see. And then you can increase the time duration, how long you practice that. In the principles of pranayama, which is the ancient method that I think is the most developed from the breathing perspective, that's also how it is. You do not, for example, proceed with holding your breath after holding your breath before you normalize your breathing, before you create normal state of your breathing system. Then you introduce holding breath after inhalation, then you introduce after exhalation, let's say, and then only after a while then you can proceed with a longer period of practicing.
Right, so there's just so many actionable steps that we learned today. Thank you so much, Alsu. I have so many more questions, but I will have to stop now, and maybe we can have another session to talk more about, you know, the changes that is happening in the landscape and how your practice is doing. And I'm really, really excited for you. So as we today's episode, is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience, and where can they further find you or learn more about what you teach?
Definitely my Instagram is where I have a lot of content, and you can find the many practices that you can just start doing. One thing is always better than nothing. That's what I always say. So practice is better than just knowing and just talking about it. So what I would wish for everyone is just as an outcome of this conversation, just try any of the mindful breathwork practices on your own for 5 minutes. And then if you're interested in some other courses, you can go onto my website, or if you have interest in working with me, you can message me maybe on Instagram as well. Or if you have any specific questions, I also use my Instagram, like just in private messages to reply. That's I think
She's no longer my secret, everyone. So go ahead and message Alsu whenever that you feel or if you think that there's anything that you want to ask about today's episode from today's episode. But from what I learned from you today, just a little bit more of a recap, is that essentially your breathing is influenced by your thoughts, and your thoughts and physiology can be influenced by your breath. And having that sense of awareness is indeed a skill. Most importantly, it's a skill that we all need to practice day in, day out to restore the balance of who we are and what we do, especially during the times of stress and this COVID and everything else that we don't know whatever is going to happen. So no matter how and what it looks like. Okay, so this ends our today's episode. Do drop me a message, everyone, on Instagram. That's Cassie Pajarillo, on what you picked up on today's episode. I would love to feature you, or if you've got any questions, send it over and we'll endeavor to have that discussed on the succeeding episodes. Again, this is your chief encourager, your host, Cassie Pajarillo Braganza. Drive ambition, serve love, and everyone, be awesome. And of course, breathe. Yeah.
You just finished listening to another episode of the Ambitious Tribe podcast by Cassie Pajarillo. If you liked today's episode, make sure to leave Cassie a review on iTunes and share this podcast with your friends on social media. It's also available on Spotify and Google Podcast. Don't forget to tag Cassie Pajarillo on Instagram or message her straight on LinkedIn. You may also head over to the Ambitious Tribe with a Plan Facebook group and be encouraged by soul-aligned and ambitious humans on the planet. Remember, you can definitely build a better business.